In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.
Amen.
Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
Thank you. And beloved in Christ, I greet you with the words, a good triodion to you. A good triodion. Last night we talked about how on the eve of the Sunday of the Pharisee and the Publican, the sacred text called the Lenten Triodion is placed out leaning against the iconostasis, sometimes on a stand. It's a book full of hymns, the hymns of repentance that are used during the pre-Lenten season and throughout the season of Great and Holy Lent. And we took a pause during the Great Vespers last night, and the reader came up and reverently and hopefully fearfully, in a way, retrieved that hymn book of repentance that bids us not to just stay where we are. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. But to go deeper, deeper into the mystery of life in Christ through living a life of humility and repentance. This is one of the Sundays in preparation for Great and Holy Lent. The Church grants us a great mercy in preparing us for the season that is to come. Before we set sail on the Sea of Great Lent, we stand on the beach for a little bit and watch the waves and feel the water. You know how kids do sometimes when the surf is coming up and then they run toward it as if they're going to go into the water and then they run back a little bit? That's kind of what we're doing right now. Before we allow ourselves to be swept away by the waves of God's grace, but to entrust oneself to God is a risky business. Last night, we mentioned that this hymn book of repentance, the Lenten Triodion, is a kind of a forbidden book. How so? Well, because it doesn't make sense according to human logic that someone like a philanderer, a liar, and a tax collector, kind of like a modern day politician, okay, would be granted repentance. Someone to whom justice was due. Someone who probably deserved a great punishment. But in this parable that the Lord gives us, he gets over himself a little bit and he approaches with fear, but also with a little bit of courage. Bowing low, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And according to human logic, we would say, okay, it's good that you're sorry for what you've done, but bap, 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 bap. You still deserve a little punishment, and I'm not going to talk to you for a while. But instead, according to this beautiful parable that the Lord gives us, this man who was considered to be the scum of their society went down to his house justified, rather than the Pharisee, who was a morally upright person, who did everything according to the prescription, who did it well and did it right and did it properly, at least outwardly speaking. But where he went wrong is he didn't say, I thank you, Lord, that you've allowed me to overcome my own sins and selfish passions. I thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast given me the opportunity to deprive myself of my selfish desires through fasting, so that I can give more generously to others, so that I'm not fixated upon my own needs all the time. I thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast given me enough so that I can give back to the temple generously. That would have been a really good thing for him to say. I thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast given me a life that's better than I deserve. But instead, again, this is a parable that the Lord is giving us, teaching us something that we need to hear. Instead, the example is, I thank thee, O God, that I'm not like other men. Thank thee, O God, that I'm not as bad as they are. Liars, adulterers. And, by the way, I thank you that I'm not like this guy right next to me. That's where he went wrong. So this is a good lesson for us who are constantly evaluating our own sense of worth through comparing ourselves to other people. We do this constantly in our digital age. In our age of information, there's so much information. There's so many pictures and images. There's so much that you can look at and compare yourself to. Someone shared this funny news article with me from, I don't know, the 1800s, where a newspaper did something very scandalous. They decided to go from releasing one publication of their newspaper every month to two every month. And the people were scandalized because they thought, how much could be going on in the world that would warrant two whole newspapers every month? It's pretty amazing. And now it's just a constant, it's not even newspapers, but it's just information. And we use all of the information that we receive, we use it, my point is this, we use it as a point of orientation a lot of times. We compare ourselves to the people that we are seeing and listening to. Either we agree with them or we disagree with them. But we often identify ourselves, find our value or our sinfulness in comparison, or our inadequacy in comparison to other people. I was reading a book recently and I wish I would have underlined it. I just made a mental note, so I don't know which one it was, but one of the saints, probably one of the new saints, Paisios or Porphyrios, said, instead of comparing yourself to other people, just compare yourself to Christ. Anytime you're trying to identify yourself in comparison to another. And of course, when you compare yourself to Christ, you end up looking into the eyes of one who deeply loves you and wants to transform you from your weakness, from your depravity, from your inherent awareness of brokenness. One of the main points that I want to bring out of today's gospel reading is this. That we need to learn to do the right things for the right reasons. Do the right things for the right reasons. A lot of times we're fixated on whether or not we're doing the wrong things, or whether others are doing the wrong things. That's a big distraction for us. And we become fixated on our sinful, impassioned state or that of other people. And remember, it takes one to know one. There's a reason that we can easily identify the flaws in other people, because, again, we have an intimate awareness of those flaws ourselves. But rather than focusing on doing the wrong things, or doing the right things for the wrong reasons. This is another temptation, like the Pharisee in today's gospel reading. Did all of the right things for the wrong reasons and proved himself to be a hypocrite. And Christ spoke out about hypocrisy all the time. Doing things in order to try to impress oneself. Doing things in order to prove something to oneself or to prove something to God. You can't prove anything to God. Or to prove something to other people. Rather than being an authentic human being, living life according to a facade. And it's inauthentic because you only find value by comparing yourself to externals, not to Christ, who wants to dwell within you and transform you so that you can be free. Free to follow him, not obligated to do what's right. Free to love, not bound by some moral necessity. And so, true freedom comes from learning to do the right things for the right reasons. Our Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Not if you want to prove something to me, not if you want to look good or prove that you're better than other people, but if you love me, you will obey my commandments. The church really elevates obedience as a high virtue because true obedience is always born out of trust. Trust to the one to whom we're being obedient. And who is our obedience to, first and foremost? Not to Father Jeremiah, not to Father Barsanufios on YouTube, not even to St. Porphyrios first, but first and foremost to Christ, our Lord Jesus, who speaks to us lovingly and truthfully through the Holy Gospels. So if we're not reading the Holy Gospels and hearing his commandments regularly, that's not part of our daily fare, then we don't even have the ability to obey his commandments if we're not availing ourselves to them. So we need avail ourselves to the teachings of our Lord Jesus regularly. And we need to hear them again and again. It's always sweet and naive when I hear someone say, well, I've already read the Bible, so I don't need to read it again. But the fathers of the church unanimously say, you will never plumb the depths. The mysteries revealed in the Holy Scriptures, particularly the Gospels. So we need to learn to do the right things for the right reasons, motivated by humility. And a healing can start to take place. Humble awareness that we can't do it ourselves and therefore we need help. And the Lord is there to grab our hand. Will we allow that hand to grasp ours, and will we squeeze his hand in return so that we can be pulled forth out of the mire that we're in, out of the confusion and frustration? But in order to get to this state, repentance is required. This is why we have an entire season of repentance every year. Again, repentance is not self-loathing. It is the hatred of the ego, of the selfishness, and of hypocrisy. But it's a time to become freed from our slavery through obedience to Christ. I was thinking about it during the Orthros this morning as the beautiful hymns were being sung. Open to me the doors of repentance, O giver of life. But it's not just a door you look through. You know, the emerald gates of the city of Oz are before you. Oh, you know. Wonderful, I saw it. You know what I mean? But there are gates that you have to step through. And the warning is, and thus the forbiddenness to this world, is that when you step into that life in Christ, you will no longer be who you once were. Remember the words of the holy apostle Paul. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's no longer I who live, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Behold, the old is gone and the new has come. What a beautiful calling that the Lord has set forth for us. I want to share a little bit from one of the fathers of the church so that you can't say that you only heard from Father Jeremiah today. It's from the writings of Abba Dorotheos of Gaza, the ABCs of the spiritual life. If you haven't read this book, this is your Lenten reading. And I'll send you the link if you want so you can get a copy. But he has a chapter called On the Fear of God. And I want to read just a little section for you. He begins, St. John in one of his epistles says, perfect love drives out fear. What does the holy man signify to us by this? What sort of love and what sort of fear is he talking about? The psalmist says, fear the Lord, all you who love him. And we find thousands of similar sayings in the Holy Scripture. If therefore the saints who so loved him feared him, how can he say love casteth out fear? St. John wishes to show us that there are two kinds of fear, one preliminary and the other perfect. The one found in beginners, as someone called it, of the devout, and the other in those perfected in holiness, of those having arrived at true love. One forms a desire of God through fear of condemnation. This is, as we have said, the starting point. His starting point is not what is good, but the fear of torments. Another forms a desire for God because he loves God himself, loves him, and knows what is acceptable to God. Such a man is goodness itself, knowing what it is to be with God. See, this is the man who has true love, which St. John calls perfect love. And that love leads a man on to perfect fear. Such a man fears and keeps to God's will, not for fear of punishment, not to avoid condemnation, but as we have said, because he has tasted the sweetness of being God, he fears he may fall away from it. He fears to be turned away from it. This is the perfect fear which is generated from perfect love and throws out that preliminary fear. And this is why he says that perfect love casts out fear. But it is impossible to come to perfect fear except through that preliminary fear, which is what is being demonstrated here in the parable with the publican. Experiencing the preliminary fear, but not just self-condemning, but rather drawing near to God, and through that fear saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this is the opportunity that's being given to us, beloved in Christ, that we can draw near to our Lord Jesus Christ through a trusting obedience, that we can overcome our hypocrisy and not be pharisaical, but not also be free of being self-justifying sinners, but instead being those who authentically, fearfully, and even courageously repent before God and freely do his will. Because having been loved by him, and having been revealed by him, and having been given hope through him, we realize then that we're capable of love as well. May God grant us this beautiful freedom through obedience and following him and obeying his commandments, that we might be filled with love, that we might be conduits of love, overflowing with freedom to love God and love others all the days of our lives. both now and forever and unto the ages of ages. Amen.